In today's episode, I am very excited to be joined by an absolute legend within the fitness industry, Ben Coomber.
I remember thinking when I was 18, I'm overweight, I've been bullied most of my life, I've got IBS, I've got asthma, I've got eczema, I've got all these problems, I'm now in charge. But once you have that mindset shift and you take control, all the things just start to happen. I am always looking, analysing and trying to break down things. I'll be honest, I didn't realise I sometimes shied away from that. For me, it's just about standards. How high are you going to set the bar?
People often think it's all about working hard, but I think it's working smart, but smart and hard.
So much of our unhappiness is because...
In today's episode, I am very excited to be joined by an absolute legend within the fitness industry, Ben Coomber. Ben is an expert in high performance and he uses his expertise to help coach people to become the most awesome version of themselves. He is the host of the UK number one rated fitness podcast, Ben Coomber Radio, the founder of BTN Academy, an online nutrition course, and he also owns Awesome Supplements, an award-winning plant-based supplement company. I've personally learned so much from Ben over the last decade, so I truly am very grateful to be able to welcome him into the community, and hopefully we can make him feel just as awesome as he does with others. He is most definitely my kind of person, and I know he will be your kind of person too. So welcome to the podcast and community, Ben Coomber. Welcome.
Hello, thank you very much. Well, welcome. Thank you. Awesome to be here.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. And thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, Ben. As I mentioned, I genuinely am so grateful and excited because I've learned a lot from you. I usually like to start the podcast by letting people know how we know each other. And without trying to blow smoke, I have been quite a fan of yours. So I've listened to the Ben Coomber Radio for about 12 years. I attended some of your talks while at university. I'm currently finishing my nutrition certification through BTN Academy right now. So I'm really excited to talk about that today. And genuinely, anyone who knows me knows that your Awesome Supplements vegan protein powder is an absolute staple of mine. I'm training for an Ironman right now, and the protein powder and the electrolytes have been a game changer for me. And I'm quite proud I've managed to convert some non-vegans over to the powder along the way.
So
We're getting there. So yeah, genuinely so grateful for not only your contribution to my own learning, but to the industry as a whole as well. And before we learn a little bit more about high performance and all of your incredible businesses, please could you share with us where you have grown and flown? So where did you grow up and where would you consider home now?
I suppose I consider home where I am now, which is Suffolk in the UK. I grew up on the south coast, like Portsmouth kind of area, but my dad was in the military, so we flew around like everywhere. We were in Somerset at one point, up in Cambridgeshire at another point. So I'm used to change and movement. So home as a kid, a lot of different places, home now, Suffolk.
Amazing. And where in that journey over to Suffolk and all the places in between, did you start focusing on high performance? Did you always consider yourself a high performer? And how has that helped you in both your personal life and in business?
I see myself as very lucky in that when I was 18, I left boarding school. So very lucky to have a great education. And I was on my own. And actually, in reflection, that was a really good thing in that I could shape myself the way that I wanted to shape myself. I didn't really have any external influences. I didn't have a friends group that were then all going to uni or friends group that were getting me into trouble or anything like that. It was like literally a blank canvas. And I remember thinking when I was 18, I'm overweight, I've been bullied most of my life, I've got IBS, I've got asthma, I've got eczema, I've got all these problems. I'm now in charge. And there was just these few environmental things that brought it all together. And I thought, right, I'm on my own. I've got no excuses. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to sort myself out. I'm going to get fit. And I just, you know, once you have that mindset shift and you take control, all the things just start to happen. You start to read books that open up your mind. You start to talk to people with different perspectives. And I think I'm very lucky that I was on my own and saw that as a gift and just went feet forwards into it.
Good for you. I love that. And I think in coaching, we talk a lot about autonomy, don't we? And I think you can have an intellectual understanding of that. But when you really take that on board and take ownership of that, like you say, I really think it can be a game changer.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah. And I think I fangirled you enough at the start of the episode to indicate that you've been a big inspiration and mentor to me. But has there been anyone either in the industry or in your personal life that has inspired you over the years, whether that's in high performance or in fitness? Like, what qualities did you really admire in them?
I think the qualities that I've always saw is trying to do things differently, trying to take risks. And actually, if I'm honest, a lot of the work that I've done on myself and in business and what I've looked up to have kind of been like distant mentors, and that's okay. And I'm not saying that's the best mentor, it's just the mentors that I had earlier in my life. So when I was young, I read a lot of books. And if you think of the early business kind of chat 10, 15 years ago, it was a lot of Dragon's Den. That was a new program. There was all these amazing people now on the TV. Business was being celebrated. So I remember reading like Peter Jones's book, Deborah Mead, and like all of these kind of dragons. And I read all the stories of failure and how they'd lost stuff and tried stuff and all the rest of it. And then I kind of got into Richard Branson, and I loved all his just like carefree attitude. Let's just do it. Let's just try it. Let's do this. Let's do it the virgin way. And then over time, I wouldn't say I've had mentors. I've had a lot of peers where I've gone to certain groups and I've brought groups together. And sometimes you might call these mastermind groups, where you bring like-minded groups of people together and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help with. Can you support me? Have you got any ideas? And I'm a big, big fan of that, of bringing together people that think like you, but also challenge you to constantly up your game.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, that to have people that challenge you, right? Especially with social media these days, it can be a bit of an echo chamber. The algorithm is literally designed to give you more of what you think, of what you like. So I think it's just as valuable having those people that may be challenging you to help level you up, right?
Mm. And I'll be honest, I didn't realize I sometimes shied away from that, because I had quite a bit of early-ish success age-wise, because I hustled hard from an early age. And actually that created this aura of kind of success around myself. And this is me feeling it. I'm not talking about other people. I'm just talking about me. And when that happens, you kind of get into this habit that like you're a bit untouchable and you know best and you've got a lot of book smarts. And actually, there was a period of time where I didn't feel I needed external input and I wasn't challenging myself enough. And it wasn't through, you know, a series of events where I kind of realized it and I was like, I need to be challenged more directly on some of these things I think I've got a handle on, but I actually haven't. And the greatest storytellers are ourselves to ourselves. Like, we're great at weaving whatever it is we want to hear. Mm. And we need the right people around us to click us out of that and be like, no. Here's the mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a core part of being a better critical thinker. And you touched upon like your hustle quite early on in your career. And that really has led you to some great success having multiple health-related businesses. So please, could you tell us a little bit more about both the BTN Academy and Awesome Supplements? When and why did you start them, and what do you hope they contribute to the world?
Sure. I'll rewind a little bit. So I started off as a personal trainer and coach at 20. Then I went to uni and I wanted to study and become better at my job. So I studied sports performance and coaching. And then I worked alongside while I was at uni in elite sport. I also did other jobs like retreat, started my first business. So it was all centered around coaching. Then it was about the age of 23 where I saw the online opportunity. A lot was happening on Facebook, that kind of stuff. So I thought, oh, what about doing my coaching stuff, but online, because I love to travel. So I wanted a job I could be anywhere in the world and coach. So I started my first coaching business, was a massive failure. So I started my second coaching business, having learned from those failures. Mm-hmm. And that business still exists today, but it's now a coaching company. So the company you're talking about, the BTN Academy, is a certified education company where we specialize in nutrition. So we train people to become nutrition coaches. And that came out of 5-6 years of us being a coaching company and wanting to have more impact by then teaching the coaches of the future. And then as a lot of business ideas happen, I was just then frustrated. And I was like, I'm frustrated at the world of supplements. There must be a better way. And in my naivety, sort of went headfirst into it, thinking, oh, how hard can it be to start a supplement company? So that happened in 2016. And there's been various little side projects, you know, here and there along the way. But yeah, the core business is all around nutrition, education, supplementation, and hopefully a good dose of inspiration along the way.
Definitely. And I don't think people realize what a game changer that was, because certainly following the pandemic, we have the online coaching industry is booming. There's millions of online coaches now, but it really wasn't much of the thing when you first started. You really were, certainly in the UK, I think, a bit of a front runner with that.
I was. I don't want to say I'm lucky, because you got to get to a point where you open your mind up to these things to see them, right? So I am always looking, analyzing, and trying to break down things. Why are they happening? Where are people going? What are they listening to? Why are they listening to it? And podcasting started becoming a thing in America. And I was following a lot of American fitness people, because I always find America's like 2 to 3 years ahead of the UK.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to follow America. Also, there's more people living there, so there's more chance that you see the movement because of the people. And I was like, why don't I do a UK podcast? Who's doing a UK podcast? Oh, amazing, I can be the first one. So that definitely helped towards my success being one of the first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I laugh about it now, but I remember like your podcast was one of the top ones at the time. It still is extremely popular. And I remember explaining to people like, oh, you should listen to this podcast, and people being like, what's a podcast? Which we laugh at now, because podcasts are huge. They're a part of our everyday and they're such a fantastic source of information. But like you say, certainly in the UK, it wasn't really much of a thing when you started. It was all very new. So it's incredible, your vision with that.
And I tell you what the best thing about it is like, I think when we spoke before coming to this podcast, you said I was part of inspiring you to do a podcast. Mm. And that's beautiful to, and I get messages all the time, oh, I actually started my podcast because, you know, I heard yours and I enjoyed it and I wanted to have my own message in my own way. And that's brilliant. You're just creating this ecosystem that's then building and good messaging's getting out there. And that's the beautiful thing about being in the world that we're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's huge, like I said, not only to have the vision to do that, but also the bravery to do that, because you're kind of out there figuring out and doing this new thing that others either were unaware of or not so brave to do yet. I think it's a lot easier now. One, it's just more accessible to create a podcast, but also if everyone's doing it, it's a lot easier to get started because it's kind of the thing to do. But very much when you started, you were on your own for a little while there.
Yeah. I did. I had to figure things out. Now there's a lot of good templates. Like you could pick your favorite or the top 20 podcasts, listen to them and get a great idea of how to run a good podcast. So I definitely had to feel through it. But do you know what? I like learning like that.
Mm.
I like just being able to kind of figure it out. And I think that also helps me become a better coach, because I'm constantly figuring things out myself. I'm not just, I know loads of coaches that are just like, they're almost like they're just taking information from one person or one mouth or one book and putting it into another. And I feel like I've genuinely been on a lot of the journeys that I help people with. So I have empathy and insight, which I don't think every coach can say for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. And empathy and insight is such a huge part of coaching. And also to be able to lead from the front. As coaches, we want our clients to be trying new things, to be brave, to give things a try and not worry about failing. So the fact that you're willing to do that out in the open, I think also helps build incredible trust with your community.
Mm.
You really practice what you preach. And I think that's very important. And we were talking about awesome supplements. Again, you had quite amazing vision with that as well in the UK. I know you've recently turned the company completely vegan. And also as someone who's been trying to work on my own footprint and my own journey with sustainability, it's amazing to see what you are doing with the company and being as eco-friendly as you can. And I think those are two of my favorite things about awesome supplements is one, how sustainable you've tried to be throughout the whole product journey, but two, how incredible the products taste. From someone who's consumed a lot of vegan protein powders, the protein always seems to have almost like a grit kind of texture in it, where you've managed to make awesome supplements incredibly smooth and flavorsome. So how did you manage to get your product to where it is? And how many vegan protein powders have you tasted to get there, do you think?
We've tasted and tried a lot. Do you know what? I think in the world of business, if you're willing, anything, if you're willing to keep putting pressure on yourself and the people around you to improve, 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 iterate, 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 you'll come to a good product. And I remember getting like our first samples from the manufacturer, like, oh, how does this taste? Do you like, you know, our version of your chocolate salted caramel protein? I'm like, no, it's fucking terrible. Like, you need to go back to the drawing board and sort it out. Whereas how many other companies in my position would have been going to a contract manufacturer going, oh, we want to make a vegan protein. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that tastes great. Maybe just add a little bit more chocolate. And then maybe you only go through like two or three iterations. But most of our products are going through like 8, 10, 12 iterations. And our manufacturer probably hates us. But long term, they're going to reap the rewards because they're going to be making more of a better product. So for me, it's just about standards. How high are you going to set the bar for your own standards and then stick to it and be relentless on trying to chase it? And the right kind of people will get on the bus and the wrong kind of people will get off the bus.
Yeah. And it comes back to high performance again, those qualities of a high performer. And it's been so successful. You managed actually to turn your supplement company completely vegan because there was such a demand for it, which is incredible. And just as incredible, like I mentioned, is the sustainability behind your product. And like, you plant a tree for every product bought, and you're constantly trying to change the packaging and look at your footprint along the way. Why was that shift to all vegan so important to you? And what advice could you maybe give to other business owners or even individuals who are trying to be a little bit more sustainable?
Sure. So firstly, I'll say we'll describe ourselves as a plant-based company rather than vegan, because I'm not a vegan personally and none of the staff are.
Yeah.
When we had the original product line, it was basically 90% plant-based. And our vegan protein became the biggest seller very, very quickly, purely, like you said, because of the taste of the product. It just tasted better than everyone else's. So when we came to rebrand, we had this kind of decision point where I'd always felt that we did a certain thing really well. And in the world of business, you always talk about like niching down and focusing on a customer and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, ignoring that, just what are we great at? Like, we're great at this vegan protein. We're great at a couple of other things. I'm like, why don't we just focus on that? And there was a few other things that happened, like whey protein was starting to become really expensive. It was hard to import. Brexit was affecting things. And it just felt like a natural evolution. It's like, why don't we just be plant-based? Why don't we kind of, you know, lock it down? And I always felt that, like, why does a company need a whey and a vegan and a whey hydrolysate and a ket? And why do we need all these different types of protein? Why can't we just have a protein and we're going to call it awesome protein? That's it. That's the one protein we do, and we do it in a load of incredible flavors. And that's kind of why we did it. The sustainability point of view, I just think it's the right thing to do, like Christ. And I know the world is waking up to it very quickly because a lot of powerful messaging is coming out. You know, big hat tip to David Attenborough. That's probably doubled the speed that we were going in a very, you know, short amount of time. But in saying that, we do have to be careful that there is a huge amount of greenwashing out there. And I'm not saying we're doing things better. I'm just telling the consumer to be alert of it, because there's a lot of companies saying, oh, we do this, we do that, we're packaging this. And actually, when you drill into the details, it doesn't mean they're quote unquote sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like, for me to say we're a sustainable brand, you can rightly say to me, well, what does that even mean? What does being sustainable mean? So we have to break all these things down, because we're living in a world where everyone is being exposed to an awful lot of sound bites every day. And we know this from the attention of social media. Like, people's amount of time they're willing to watch the first 5 seconds of a video is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. It's changing media consumption. So the opportunity that brands have to communicate what they're actually doing and us to kind of disseminate that and make sense of it is ever going down. So you might read a couple of sound bites on our website, but not go into it. But the real value behind a brand is going into it and finding out and really stress testing it. So I don't want people to listen to you and think, oh, Ben runs a great sustainable XYZ. No, go check me out. Think critically. You know, am I? Are the credentials stacking up? And I really would implore people to do that, because as you said earlier, that's critical thinking.
Absolutely. And again, shows how much you value like trust and trust in your brand and getting your audience to think for themselves. And once again, comes back to being a high performer, right? Being able to have that autonomy for your own health and also the way you think, and not only what you personally consume food-wise, but also what we consume media-wise as well. And that goes on to the brands we consume also. And one key word that seems to really define your entire brand is the word awesome. So what does that word mean to you, and what place does that hold in high performance?
I had to work over time to accept that word, because it always felt a little bit kind of frivolous, a little bit American, like awesome, man. It means a lot to me because it kind of sums up the way that I want to live my life, and I want to inspire other people to live their lives. It's as simple as that. I want to live an awesome life, and other people should want to do the same. And then to break that down, it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a recipe there. To live an awesome life, you need to do work that has purpose behind it and you enjoy it. You need to eat well. You need to go to bed on time. You need to exercise and move and use your body as the beautiful tool that it is. You need to do things that make you happy. You need to have powerful connections in your life. You should be ambitious. You should work towards things. So for me, it's about having a word that talks about a recipe for life.
Yeah, and the whole picture. And it's all trying to find that balance, I think, as well. And I love the consistency of that word as well, and how you coach people with it. And do you think there are any misconceptions that people might have around high performance? As a coach myself, I frequently see people struggling with the basics. And I wonder if you've also experienced that getting in the way of people being able to perform at their best.
I think the biggest thing is the misinterpretation of high performance, meaning always doing something or always moving forward. It almost feels like it always feeds into like your work life or sport. Like if you're a high performer, you're trying to work 12 hours a day, you're hustling, you're crushing it. No, high performance is every hour that you're awake, you're doing what you want. You're performing well at it. You're being fulfilled by it. So whether you spend 2 hours working one day or 16 hours one day, you are performing at your peak with purpose, fulfillment. And that's all I think it comes down to. It's not just about hustle hard all the time. Far from it.
Yeah. And people often think it's all about working hard, but I think it's working smart, but smart and hard. I think you need them both.
Yeah. And do you know what? The messages that we're giving today will land differently for different people of where they're at in their life. Mm-hmm. Like right now in my life, I want to work smart, logically, pragmatically, in a fulfilled way. When I was younger, I was trying to work smart, but I didn't really know how to work smart. So I had to work hard. I had to figure it out. And that's why I worked 10, 12, 14 hour days when I was younger. But now I'm like, I can probably get the same ROI, but doing 6 or 8 hours a day, because I know what I'm doing. Like I figured the smart bit out a bit more, not say I figured it all out. So over time, you learn that you don't have to work as hard. And also life changes. I've now got 2 kids. I've got different priorities. I've got different balances I want to uphold. And I enjoy my work in different ways than when I did when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the evolution as you've come to different parts of your life. And for where you are at in your life now, what makes you feel awesome?
Sleep. That is the one thing that I'm forever trying to improve. And it's purely because I've got young kids. And that's my biggest challenge. I feel that most areas of my life are very good. They're very high performing. They're well dialed in. So my routines, you know, morning and night, they're great. They prep me. They wind me down. My food is great. You know, my relationships are great. So sleep is always like the ongoing battle. And I feel it even more because I probably focus on it that much. It's like the one thing I'm like forever trying to improve.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also give myself a wide berth because I can't control it.
Yeah.
So if you can't control it, you need to let go, do what you can, and then otherwise just kind of crack on.
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate how much effort you put in daily to kind of learning in public and also making the health and fitness industry a more welcoming and educational space. I know we talked earlier about, you know, you've failed at some of the businesses you've done, and like you were kind of working out the podcast as it goes along. So you really have been a leader within the industry. What excites you about the direction that the health and industry is going at the moment? And what would you like to see more of?
The biggest thing, and I'd say there's been a few really key contributors of this, is moving out the bullshit. Like, there is a huge amount of like, this product doesn't work, that thing's a fad, why are we doing that? That's a faulty belief pattern. And while some people might, you know, have gone about it in different ways to other people, the messages are hitting home. More and more people are talking about it. So more and more people now know that in the world of nutrition, calories are king. Whereas previously, we were arguing way more whether keto diet's best or this diet's best. And so I think the evolution of that is really powerful. But I think the realities of why we eat and move have to still improve. We still do it to live a better life. There's still a huge amount of body composition messaging in the fitness industry where it's like, it's all centered around how you look, whether you've got abs and stuff. So I want to see that evolve. But you know what? Technology over the next 10 years in the fitness industry is going to be beautiful. It's already really ramping up. But the things that we're going to get back from our ring or a wrist strap or a chip in our ear is going to be incredible, and it's going to tell us so much. And if people choose to engage with their health, I can imagine life expectancy is going to go up another 10 to 20 years because we're able to use data to look after ourselves in such a powerful way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know certainly the way you come at coaching is very much evidence-based. So to have all that extra data is really important. And I've always found you to be someone who does seem to have quite an excellent bullshit filter, if I must say. And I think a way I've noticed you being able to do that is you seem to be able to ask very powerful questions. So, for example, attended a talk that you gave back in 2014, so some years back now, Royal Holloway University, which is where I studied. And it was a seemingly simple conversation, but it really made me think and stuck with me. There was a young lad that had put his hand up for the Q&A, and he'd said about how much he was struggling to run inside on a treadmill. And instead of you kind of bombarding him with data or giving suggestions, you literally asked him one simple question, and that was, why? And he sort of said, what? And you said, like, why are you running on a treadmill if you don't like it? And it was such a simple question and seemed obvious, but you had a really delicate way of speaking to him without making him feel stupid. And you just kind of seem to cut through our own kind of bullshit with just a very powerful and simple question. And that's always stuck with me, that ability to help people through really getting to the right questions and making people think for themselves. So how have you, I guess, cultivated that in your work? Have you always found it the importance of really asking those questions?
Firstly, thank you. So to answer your question, I'm a big fan of studying human behavior. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of also knowing my own shortcomings, biases, and how I just operate and think. Now, the reason I say that is a lot of people, when they hear a question being asked, they're already formulating their response in their head. Their ego's taken over, and, you know, their ego almost wants to be the expert. And, you know, a lot of coaches would have stood in front of that kid and been like, we should do this and you should try this, because they're trying to play the expert role. But the only role I'm trying to do is break down that little wall that's in front of that person that is actually a really small wall to me, but a really big wall to them.
Yeah.
And I've just got to see it as a small wall and just say, why? Or have you thought about this? Or, and a part of that as well is reading between the lines. What is the person trying to say, but they're not actually saying? Because most people answer a question at surface level.
Mm.
While you're asking the question, I'm trying to go below that surface level and go, what are they actually saying? I'm trying to read their body language, their tone of voice. Where is the actual problem? Because it's never in the question. And I'm trying to dissect all of that. And then that's how I come up my kind of next comment or my next question. And I mean, if you had a coaching session with me, I say very little, very, very little. I'll probably speak for 5 minutes out of a 60-minute coaching session, because I feel my job is there to just unravel this mess that person feels they're in by just probing, picking, you know, saying why, how, what about this? And then they lead themselves to the answer.
Yeah, and it was really like, we're what, 8 years down the line now, and that really stuck with me, and it really has influenced my own coaching as well. And as I say, it was at the time maybe seemed insignificant conversation, but it was just so powerful. And like you said, the young guy who put his hand up was kind of ready almost for his response, and he had to kind of actually go back a minute and be like, what? Because you, like you said, you could have taken that opportunity to kind of throw your advice and play the expert, but really it was just such a simple question that really made him kind of stop and take a step back and be like, yeah, well, why am I running on a treadmill if I really don't enjoy it? And he kind of answered his own question, and that just really stuck with me. So thank you for that.
Well, credit to yourself, because you sat in that audience thinking, I'm going to sit back here, just going to absorb it. And that's where there's so much that people miss in life by just focusing on words.
Mm.
Like, you weren't just focusing on the words, you were focusing on the tone, the flow, the experience, what's happening in between the words. When you're studying communication, so much of communication is nonverbal.
Yeah.
But if you can start to tune into all of that and release your intuition, which I'm a huge fan of, you can become so good at so many things because you're tuning into things that most people are missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's transformed my own coaching, that ability to kind of read between the lines, ask important questions, and kind of then just sit back and give my clients the space to kind of share. And like say, often they're providing the answer not only with their words, but with their body language and their actions as well. So that was a really, really important lesson to me. And I'm a business owner myself, and I have a huge amount of respect for anyone who is out there consistently working away at their passion and doing what they can to create positive change. So do you have any specific advice that you would give to anyone else who is looking to make a start following their passion? Was there anything you'd wish you'd known before starting?
Ooh.
It's a big question, I know. And I was so keen to ask you because, like we've discussed, you really were starting on your own at a lot of these things, like with the podcast and going online. You really were kind of at the forefront, certainly in the UK, and probably didn't have a lot of examples to look up to at the time.
I'm going to answer your question in a different way and just say that the issue I think a lot of business people get stuck in is that there is a lot more failure than most expect. So don't get us wrong. A lot of business owners think, yeah, it's going to take me a while to get clients or sell the product or whatever it is that you do. But people think, oh, you know, 3 to 6 months. It's probably going to be 1 to 2, 2 to 3 years to really kind of get it off the ground. And I think if you go in with that expectation, and that doesn't mean rest on your laurels in any way, still put in the effort, still hustle, because it will take hustle. Mm. I think you'll have just a realistic expectation of how long these things can take to get off the ground. Don't get me wrong, some people are in better situations than I was. Like, I was starting from scratch, didn't know anyone, didn't have a social following, all of that stuff. Whereas some people, they can shift, they can use their network, they've already got a bit of a contact base, they might have lived locally and know quite a few people. And it might be that you want to start being a personal trainer locally, but you've already got like 60 friends where you live. And it might be that you can train 10 of them or train 10 of their friends. So actually you've got a kind of a kickstart. So I think if we're all realistic, but also push yourself, we will feel the benefits more because we'll have expectations. And so much of our unhappiness is because the outcomes don't align with our expectations. So if we can have the correct expectations going into it, we can be happier with the outcomes.
Yes, very well said and agreed. And over the years, despite kind of being on your own for a lot of it, over the years, you've provided a massive contribution to the health and fitness industry as an educator. You know, you've helped people for over a decade through your podcast and then with the BTN Academy. And most recently, you've created this incredible free coaching community with a Facebook group, which is the BTN Nutrition Coaching Club. And I think it's really is incredible that you had to, as I say, work up your way up through the industry, doing things, as we've discussed, kind of on your own. So to then turn around and that actually create this community for others so they don't have to do it alone and they can inspire each other, I think is really powerful and is a testament to your character. So what does community mean to you, and how has your idea of community changed over the years, and how do you want to continue to cultivate that across your work?
I don't think it's changed. For me, community is finding people that can help you on your journey and sharing that journey with them. Mm-hmm. And your communities will evolve and they'll change. Like, communities that I have now are totally different to what they were 10 years ago. Some are the same. So as long as we can see ourselves flowing through these groups, sharing relationships, having some, leaving others, I think we'll have a nice journey. And it's just about being around like-minded people, whether you need a business community, whether you need a fat loss community, whether you need a really local community because you're a new mum and don't know people. Like, it's about finding support, insight, and just sharing the challenges. Because how many people have a chat with someone and they didn't really get any advice? It was just sharing the burden of the burden with that person that already made them feel better. And that's the power of a community.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, you really have cultivated some amazing spaces, especially with that free coaching group. I think it depends what mindset you approach it, right? People with a fixed mindset can think, oh, there's millions of online coaches now, you know, and there's no room for me. If I share this, then other people might take that and take my clients. Whereas it's so refreshing being part of this coaching group where everyone really does seem to want to see each other succeed and is so willing to kind of offer each other advice and see it as an opportunity actually to level up. The coaches in that community seem to look at it and think, wow, actually, no, there's room for everyone. And there's really space for us to learn from each other here. So I think that really is amazing to see. It's exciting.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Ben, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your time, energy, and expertise with us today. This personally has really meant a lot to me. And I think you are so humble in your leadership approach, despite having actually provided so much to health and fitness professionals like myself, and you've been a great mentor to me. So you do so much to help others. How could we help you? Where can we follow your work and support you?
Just type me into a social thing or a Google thing, BenCoomber, which is my name, and you'll find me. If you want to follow, come follow, come say hello. If you don't like what you see, then unfollow. It's as simple as that. I don't like a hard sell. We're in an age where there's a million podcasts, there's a million people on social media. And if something I've said has landed with you today, then come and follow and see if you like what you see.
Amazing. And I can't wait to personally continue to learn from you and to also witness you helping even more people feel awesome. And I'll make sure to put all of the links to you in the show notes as well to make that easier for people. And I know you're an incredible busy man, but one last question before you go. Do you have any parting words of advice that have served you well that you would like to finish on to share with this community?
Based on our chat today, I would say that if anyone's listening to this and they want to move forward in some way of their life, rather than adding things, take things away and start to just get clarity on what is meaningful to you. So when you feel friction in your daily life, in your work life, your relationships, that's where you start removing things. Like, this thing's angering me. This thing's frustrating me. Why am I doing things? And do your best to take it out of your life. Some people will struggle with that, depending on their life, what it is they're struggling with. Some people won't. And it will be uncomfortable at times, but friction is the sign that you need to move away from that or create a solution for that. So don't add, subtract, then add after you subtract it.
Yes. Thank you. Ben, you are an absolute legend. Thank you for being awesome. Thank you for showing others how to feel awesome. And thank you for the value and education that you so graciously share, and for your continued efforts to make the world a healthier and hopefully a bit more of a sustainable place to live in. You lead from the front, and I'm grateful to have been able to follow for so many years. So thank you for being my kind of person.
Thank you. Stay awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to My Kind of People. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, I would be so grateful if you could please share the love forward. You can show your support in three simple ways. You could please subscribe by clicking the follow button on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube. You could send the episode to a loved one, or you could share this episode with others by tagging me in your social media stories at The Meg Method. Just see the show notes for more details. And if you're feeling extra kind, it would make my day if you could please leave a review. Thank you to my legendary podcast team, Brooklyn Fraser and Alicia Navarro. Your hard work and expertise is always appreciated. And thank you again to you, the listener, for being my kind of person. See you next time.